Clover City, Colorado, late summer, 1888. Virgil Kincaid hadn't always been on the shining side of the law, but he'd done his time and paid his dues, and working as the town marshal suited him just fine. It was regular pay and irregular work, and when a body was heading toward 30, he didn't mind a day or two of boredom on occasion. "I'll stand," he said to the man dealing the cards. The job also gave him an opportunity to play a little poker now and again. He enjoyed gambling in one form or another, and the usual Saturday night game not only brought in a few dollars, it kept him in touch with what was going on in Clover City. Smiley Fontaine, owner of the local feed store, threw in his hand. "I'm out," he said. "Me too," put in Harry Whitcomb. "Gonna call it a night. I got supplies coming in at the hotel come morning." Morgan Blackwell, the richest man in town, smirked and bit down on his cheroot. "That leaves just you and me, Kincaid. What do you got, Marshal?" Virgil kept his expression even. There was no need for a man to gloat, especially when the pickings were this easy. "Four ladies and one gent," he drawled, and laid out his cards. "Damnation!" Morgan nearly bit his cheroot in half as he slammed down his cards and leapt to his feet. His right hand opened and closed a few times, as if he itched to go for the revolver he wore at his side. "You're the luckiest damn son of a bitch I ever seen," he choked out. Everybody at the table knew what he really wanted was to accuse the marshal of cheating, but a man would have to be stupid drunk to do that. "Always appreciated being lucky," Virgil acknowledged, sliding the pile of money his way. A pair of soft arms ringed his neck, and a whiff of cheap perfume clouded around his head as pretty Molly Malloy draped herself over his shoulder. "Need any help spending that tonight, darling?" the redhead whispered in his ear. "I believe I just might," Virgil replied with a grin. "Get along, Tilly, old girl," Mariah McAllister called to the stout little mare pulling the buckboard. It was past midnight, and although she was a full-grown woman, this was the latest she'd been out alone at night. She was dead tired and could hardly wait to get home. Thank the good Lord, Mrs. Newsome was only suffering from false labor pains. If the baby really had decided to make an appearance tonight, Mariah didn't know what she would have done. She knew what she was supposed to do, of course, but knowing and doing were two totally different things. It would have been her first delivery as a midwife and without her dad's help. Poor Mr. Newsome. He sure had been concerned. It was the couple's first baby, and he had been in a righteous lather of worry when he'd come pounding on the door of the clinic tonight. With Dad taking on a miserable cold, one step away from pneumonia, it had left only Mariah to go check on their patient. She was proud her father had trusted her with the responsibility. Hopefully he'd be recovered when Mrs. Newsome's time really came. With a sigh, Mariah wriggled around trying to find a more comfortable position on the hard wooden seat. No luck there. The darkness deepened to inky black, and although she could see lights in the distance, the town seemed miles away. What a long ride for nothing. All of a sudden, the horse snorted and sidestepped. She reined the mare to a full stop, and then leaned forward, trying to see what had spooked Tilly. Squinting, Mariah finally detected something lying in the road. It was a man, and he wasn't moving. A shiver danced down her spine, and she glanced around, expecting someone or something to jump out of the darkness. When nothing ominous reared its head, she set the brake, secured the reins, and slid from the wagon. Cautiously making her way forward, she crouched down beside the man's form. No wonder Tilly had shied. On the dusty road, near the man's left shoulder, there was a large black patch. An acrid smell rose sharply in the air. Blood. Palpating the man's throat, she felt for a pulse. It was weak and thready. She made to rise and retrieve her daddy's black bag from the cart, but the fellow reached out with surprising strength and snared her arm. "Who are you?" he gritted between clenched teeth as he held her at his side. "I'm Mariah McAllister, Doc McAllister's daughter, and I think you'd better just lie still while I get some help."
"There's no time, miss."
His British accent was unusual in these parts, and even in the limited light, she could see his foreign-looking clothes were high quality, the stitching sure and fine. What would an Englishman be doing in Clover City? If she couldn't keep him alive, they may never know.